Welcome everybody to the first sports radio broadcast from therealnewsonline.com. Tonight, I'm Brian Stavely. I'm always Brian Stavely, but tonight I'm going to be joined by Justin Cook. This is going to be, you know, this is going to be our first kickoff show. We're going to go over a lot of stuff tonight, okay? A lot of other of you guys have heard me on various different radio shows. This is just going to be strictly sports for you guys, okay? Being that it's the first show, we're going to talk about a lot of things. Obviously, the NFL is, you know, front and center with the playoffs coming up. Well, obviously, with the playoffs already starting, but, you know, with another round of playoffs coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. We're going to go over all the games. We'll go over our picks for the games. You know, a little analysis for you on each one and, you know, why we think what we think. We'll be opening up the phone lines for you guys. You guys can call on in at, you know, at any time that you want. Right now, we don't have the phone number set up yet, but it will be set up this week. Everything's just kind of coming together really fast. It's the only last step. What we have to do is get the phone number up. But you guys can absolutely call in via Skype, okay? Skype is always free. You know, most people, you guys have used it, okay? I know most of you have. But for those of you that haven't, if you just go to Skype.com, you can sign up for Skype. You can get an account for free. And then all you have to do is one of two things. You can either come to our website, therealnewsonline.com, go to the sports section, okay? And then all you have to do is click call in, okay? Or it says call me or call in, something like that. It's on the right-hand side. You just click that, and, you know, once your Skype's installed, it'll just ask you, to sign in, and then it'll dial right into the show. Okay. Ideally, we're going to have a phone number up there as well. You'll be able to dial in with the phone number. The other way you can do it is with your Skype. If you just add us as a contact, and you can just call in that way. And our Skype name is The Real News Online. Okay. I think the first thing I want to start off with, you know, before I get too far into the games, I kind of want to dive right into the games. I'm just waiting for my co-host to be here. He should be here momentarily, so I'm going to hold off on diving into the games until he gets here, and let's just talk a little bit about, you know what, I'm going to tell you about me. I'm a Boston guy, okay? This show isn't going to be, you know, any like a local show. It's going to be a national show. We're going to talk about all the teams, all the games equally. You're not going to have to hear a bunch of homerism. Actually, my co-host, Justin, he is from Connecticut. He is a New York guy, okay? He's a Giants fan. He's actually a Mets fan. He's a Giants fan, a Mets fan. You know what? I'll wait till he gets on here and he can describe it better to you. What do you guys think about this whole Josh McDaniels thing? Now, people in Denver are kind of making a big stink about it. Now, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I understand where they're a little upset because they're seeing a guy that used to be a coach of their team jumping on board real quick with another team. The only thing here is if you were the Patriots in this situation, first off, there's no rule against it, okay? Now, I know that that doesn't make it right, but there's no rule against it. And, you know, their offensive coordinator is literally walking away from them. So what better way to make a seamless transition than to have the other guy fill in? I mean, it's a perfect opportunity. Guys, bear with me one second. We're going to get Justin into the call. Hold on one second here. Here he is. He just signed in, so I'm just trying to get him in on the Skype with us. Justin.
Yo, what's up, man?
You're live on the air, buddy.
Oh, how you doing? Sorry about that.
It's okay. It's okay. I didn't really get into too much. I just told everybody pretty much that we're going to have a sports show. We're going to dive into a lot of stuff. I told them we're going to get into the NFL. I'd wait for you to get in here. And I just kind of started talking a little bit about the Josh McDaniels thing and how Denver people are getting a little bit upset. And, you know, I could kind of see how that would be a little justified. But there isn't a rule. And, you know, you kind of can't blame the Patriots for wanting to put the old offensive coordinator from 2007 in since the other guy's leaving. I mean, but I do think maybe there should be a rule about adding a coach at the last second. Well, what do you think about that?
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, as far as that goes, you know, it's I don't know. I guess you would say that, you know, if your offensive coordinator leaves, McDaniels is one of their – he's been their offensive coordinator, correct?
Yeah, and he was actually the offensive coordinator in 2007. So, I mean, this
Right.
guy did a hell of a job while he was here. So, I mean, you can't really blame the Patriots if there's not a rule in place when this guy's available to grab him real quick, seeing Bill O'Brien is leaving for Penn State.
It, now, is there a rule against that? How does
No.
that go?
There is no rule against it right now, as far as I know.
And now what is Denver bitching about something
Yeah.
or?
Yeah, you know what? I haven't read the actual article yet, but I heard them talking about it on the sports radio over here, and I seen they posted the article. I didn't get a chance to read it, but yeah, they were people in Denver were bitching about it because McDaniels used to be a coach for them. But you know what? That
Right,
wasn't this
right,
year. They totally
right.
changed. I mean, if one team has ever changed an offense for their quarterback, isn't it Denver? I mean, they've totally
Yeah.
changed the whole system since McDaniels has been there. It's
Yeah,
not like
it
his system's
I
coming in
agree.
here. You know what I
I
mean?
agree. And he was a flop in Denver as well. Another thing though, just to get at this, I think in general, I don't like that coaches can leave and take a job, like in college, right before the bowl games, like with Rich Rodriguez did a few years ago from West Virginia, or like O'Brien's
Yeah,
doing
man, because
now,
their heart's not in it. Their heart's not in their original job. It's just out the door. Like, I feel like that already about O'Brien, especially with
Yeah.
what the job he's taken on. Because honestly, look what he's walking into at Penn State. Not only, now everybody out there, and me and Justin have talked about this endless on our other radio shows. Not only is he walking into the Penn State scandal that, he's actually never even been a head coach anywhere. So he's got that whole
Right.
pressure of becoming a head coach and walking into that situation. In my honest opinion, Justin, I think he's bit off a lot more than he can chew.
Well, in my opinion, I think that he's just going to be the cushion for the next guy. They're going to try to try to get some stability back in that system, and I think he's just going to be the sacrificial lamb there. And pretty much just play a couple of years under him, try to get some respect back, and then
Yeah.
I don't
They probably had a really hard time,
know. I
honestly,
could
getting
Brian
anybody with
that.
some legit experience. You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
The
no,
thing
definitely.
about
You know, you're
McDaniels. Go ahead.
good.
No, we. Go ahead, Justin.
Well, paterno forever. You're coming from a paternal a place that, Christ, they rioted, when they fired him. So I mean, it's going to be a tough environment for anyone to step into right away. In Pennsylvania, just like in the Northeast, the New England, it is the Northeast Pennsylvania, but you know what I mean. It's very, especially football. It's they take it very serious down there. How the Eagles threw snowballs at Santa Claus, it's just
No, I
in
know.
Penn
I mean,
State.
they do. They take it too seriously in some points. Like, they weren't worried about the kids when the whole thing went down. They were just worried about what was going to happen to the football team by the way all the people are acting, you know?
I couldn't believe that, and I know Paterno was a guy who was loved there and respected, had been there for so long, but you have a situation there where you obviously know that he had some pre-knowledge of it. Just be happy the guy's not getting indicted, really. And I understand a lot of people, big Joe Pops supporters and whatnot would say, well, he's been there how long? Well, I think we'd seen the best of Joe Paterno a few years ago, anyway. I think he was on his
Yes.
ladder side
They
anyway.
actually
So,
asked him to step down, and he said no. Do you remember that?
yeah,
I mean, how do
yep.
you say no? I guess he's that huge, you know? That's how big he is out there. That's how big these
Right.
guys are when that's, you know, and we've talked about this before, and that's why it's such a shocking thing that, you know, he never went to the police and the whole thing. But the thing about McDaniels that I wanted to add too. All right. Now this, you know, he obviously didn't do well as a head coach. But the thing, I think I might be mistaken, and if any of our other, you know, Boston area listeners out there are listening, if you could call in and correct me if I'm wrong, I think Belichick actually publicly said that McDaniels isn't ready to be a head coach, and people thought Belichick was being a dick. They thought he just didn't want him to leave, and he was trying to put a bad word out there for him so he wouldn't get a head coaching job. That's what some people thought. I thought it was with him. It might have been with one of our other coordinators, but I thought it was with him. And look at, he's right. He was right. This guy didn't cut it as a coach. And now he's coming back, and I don't know how anybody could blame the Patriots for wanting to take him back in, You know, they're losing their offensive coordinator. We're supposed, you know, the Patriots are trying to go to a Super Bowl, and you have Bill O'Brien. He's got Penn State to think about now. That isn't just any job. Right. He's got to think about that whole mess he's walking into. His head's already out the door. So, I mean, it was a good move for them. I think Denver's really doesn't really have much of a gripe here. I could see if he came from this season, but he was in a different organization altogether. He was on the St. Louis Rams. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I you know, as far as that goes with me, and you know, and like I said, me being neutral here, you know, I don't dislike the Patriots. I don't like the Patriots because, you know, in all reality, I'm a Giants fan. So that's where my heart relies. Of course, you know, I'm not going to try to not to show any specialties, but you know, towards any team. But you know, say I was a Jets fan, or say I was a Broncos fan in this situation, would I be a little jaded just because he is your former ex-coach? I think that's something that, you know, that maybe they may be thinking about, you know, obviously. But like you said, it is a new program. You know, they're going with a Tebow. Tebow really is like the third running back. That's all he, you know, he's the third running back that throws a few times a game. Yeah. I mean, I know he had 316 yards this week and everything, but you know, all year long there was games he had 78, 92, you know, passing yards.
Let's talk about him for a bit. You know, the thing with Tebow, though, I don't know, man. He's a winner. But the thing is, I think the defense doesn't get nearly enough credit on that team. I think he gets a lot more than he should when they win. And I think it has a lot more to do with the defense. Do you see him as the future starting quarterback of that team next year, as it stands right now?
Maybe one more year. However, I don't see Tebow lasting for. I don't see him being more than a 2 or 3 year starting quarterback in the NFL. I see him eventually being like a wildcat type. You know, just bring him in here and there.
He's too much for an offensive coordinator and a coach to have to redesign the whole system to fit him.
Right.
Well, it's a nightmare to watch.
It's that, and plus the. You know, we know running quarterbacks get hurt. You know, guys that go in head first, and you're talking about the NFL here. Just like you're saying, you know, a system like that, you really need a college coach or someone like that to put it together. But you got to think, here's the difference between college and the NFL. In college, you don't have defensive linemen that run as fast as quarterbacks. You know, you might have one or two. But you know, guys like Jason Pierre-Paul or Jared Allen or any of these guys, and they run almost as fast as Tebow. So, I mean, you know, the athleticism in the NFL cuts down on a lot of these certain guys.
It does, but he still seems to do fairly well, even against those faster guys. He's really strong, Justin. I mean, he really you can't wrap him up. I mean, you really got to get on him and take him down. He reminds me of, like, how Roethlisberger is, but a lot faster.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. He's almost like a Cam Newton without the arm. You know, that's pretty much where I would put it, because he's a load. It's like taking down a fullback, you know, and he runs what, about 4 or 5, something like that.
Let me ask you this. Would you want him on your team, not to replace Eli Manning, but as just an extra player to do whatever? Would you want him in the mix?
We'll love him. Yes, we'll love him I don't know, though, if conservative Coughlin would find much use for him, but he'd probably end up being a slot receiver or something like that with the Giants.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, here's the thing. Guys like that, you got to love their tenacity and their heart. And why wouldn't you want him on your football team?
I love the guy. And, you know, for you know, his you know, just because he seems to be like a winner. And he won so much in college, and everybody's always telling him he can't do it. And he still got drafted, and he still came out and won like 8 games in a row. People forget that team was like 1-5, 1-6, 1-7. I forget what their record was, but their record was bad. They had like 1 win. And he came out, racked off 8 wins in a row. Yeah, he got a little rattled for 3 games. But you know what? All these guys do. I mean, look at any, you know, almost any of the quarterbacks rookies he is. There's not too many people that came on and, you know, did what, you know, a couple of these other guys did and went straight to the Super Bowl. Most of them struggle their rookie years. Even people, Joe Montana, all of them, they you know, they usually have losing seasons. Even Peyton Manning, I think, had a losing season his first year too. That's another thing. I mean, you know, that's an issue I hear discussed a lot. I mean, you must hear it. What do you think the Colts are going to do with Peyton Manning, the first pick, re-signing Manning, keeping him? I think, you know, the talk of them getting rid of him and, you know, just saying bye-bye, and because they have the first pick and they don't want to re-sign him because they're worried about his – I think that's absurd. I mean, I don't see how you already have Peyton Manning. I don't see how you don't try and still take the number one pick and put him under Manning's wing for a year. I don't care if it's Andrew Luck or not. You got Peyton Manning. You don't throw him
I
away.
agree.
Yeah, don't you? At least put him under the wing for a year and then maybe trade Manning if you have to.
Yep. The whole thing is you don't know. Well, you know, don't get me wrong. They're saying Luck is going to be a great NFL quarterback.
But you don't know that, dude. They say that all the time.
You never know with a college quarterback.
You never know, dude. It's such a guessing game. You never know.
Look at how many guys we can go back to Todd Marinovich to Gino Toretta. Every few years, you know, and that's like, look at a guy like Tom Brady taking seventh round pick.
199th overall. And the guy's going to go down as one of the top probably three quarterbacks of all time.
Yep. It's very hard to tell. Here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. When it comes to quarterbacks, the college system that they come out of, a lot of time makes the quarterback look a lot better than he is. For example, Mark Sanchez. You know, Mark Sanchez came out of that USC system, and people said, well, hey, it'll be easy for him to go right over to the pros, coming from a pro system under Pete Carroll. However, you know, we haven't seen Sanchez have the kind of success that, you know, that some of the other USC quarterbacks, you know, Carson Palmer.
He's done a little better than he gets credit for, though. As much as I hate the Jets, I mean, he's got them to the AFC Championship, you know?
I wouldn't say he's got him.
But he wasn't so bad that he, you know, kept them from getting there. And, you know, a bad quarterback could easily do that to a team. Right. I'd say he's average. I mean, I'd put him right in the middle.
I agree. I just think with a number one overall pick.
Yeah,
like Sanchez was.
Is that what he was? He number one?
I could be wrong.
He was a little farther down. I thought he was more like seven or eight.
Six or seven. Yeah, I could be wrong. But you know, either way, they made him like their you know, they
franchise,
made him their future court. Yeah. And you know, I don't know. I think that Sanchez this year, a couple of games he proved himself, but a couple of games he was terrible.
I tell you what, if Peyton Manning does go on the block, the New York Jets will jump all over that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They should. You know, because
absolutely.
Here's the thing.
Any team should if he's healthy.
Yeah.
You know, Breeze, Brady, and Rodgers. I mean, you got to do it.
Right. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, there's a lot of teams that are set as far as, you know, the Giants are set with
Eli.
Yeah,
there are. You guys are set. Pittsburgh's set. I shouldn't say it like that. There's really like 10 teams. Matt Ryan, he's good. Matt Schaub, he's good. Right. They wouldn't just drop those guys. No.
Right. But yeah, no. But you're right though. I'll tell you what. If I got Josh Freeman as my quarterback, I might be looking to Peyton Manning. If I got Sam Bradford, or Colt McCoy or one of these guys, I you know, thing is money wise, to what is what are you gonna have
it work?
To
it seems, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's hard to understand that cap in the NFL. It's like a $60 million cap, but teams spend like 94.
The NFL, I will never understand how the cap works. To tell you the truth, I don't know. Maybe someone can enlighten us one day on that.
It's I think you get some sort of, when you re-sign your own players, it doesn't count against the cap or something like that. Or is that basketball?
I'm not sure. I'll tell you what though. As far as it goes, it was really weird to me this offseason when you saw the Giants had to trim all this space though. And they got rid of two offensive linemen, or two or three offensive linemen that were, you know, that were starters, and a couple other D tackles. And he saw other teams like the Eagles that went out and got, you know, Asamoah. You know, they picked up three or four, you know, guys that were multi-million-dollar contracts. And to me, it didn't seem right. I know this year was different, also too, as far as that goes. I know this year was a certain rule because they had the
because the collective bargaining agreement wasn't made yet, and everything was kind of left out in the air on some ends. The thing when I see the Giants as an outsider looking in, you know, people talk about the Saints offense or the Packers offense or, you know, another team's defense. When I see the Giants, honestly, I get a little worried because of them, because I really see a lot of balance. I feel that if they play their A game, they can beat you in many different ways, and that's what I'm worried about. I don't think they're going to get past the Packers, but I think they're going to give them a hell of a game. I'm looking for like a 45-41 game where the Packers really have to do it on the last drive. I think this, Yeah, go ahead.
It's exactly. You're it's going to be just like it was. Was it week 10 or week 11 when we played them? I think it's going to be the same game there, and you're looking at it. You know, like you said. Now, here me being a Giants fan, I'm not too confident. Mm-hmm. You know, don't get me wrong. Last week, after holding the Falcons at 2 points,
yeah, it's just the Packers are damn good. You know.
They are. They are. Every couple of years, you get one of these teams. New Orleans is another one too, and of course, you know the Patriots. I'd say those are the top three teams, and of course, you have the Ravens as well. Ravens Steelers, which the Steelers is a big upset, of course.
They were really banged up, though. I wasn't that surprised.
True. You had Woodley banged up. You had a lot of their
Roethlisberger
their defense.
Was a shell of himself. Right. That high ankle sprain. He really couldn't move around.
I agree. You know, you're right. You know, and their defense is another team that has a big role in it. By the way, Sanchez was the fifth overall pick.
Fifth. Okay. Yeah, I knew he wasn't one.
Right. Yeah, but either way, he was the first quarterback taken, I believe, that year. Anyway. He was the second quarterback taken overall. Okay. Yeah. So no. Getting back to the Giants, though. You know, here's a team that can. That can lay 40 on you on offense and can hold you to two. But what they do on certain teams is they play down. You know, sometimes they just really shoot themselves in the foot. And that's the one thing you have, out of the losses this year, I'd say four out of those seven losses were self-inflicted. You know, it's not like we got.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, they implode on themselves sometimes. The thing that worries me about the Patriots, now people talk about the Patriots defense, blah, blah, blah. Their defense isn't as bad as they make it out to be. But what they do, when you talk about this bend, don't break thing, you can't do that against the New Orleans if you meet them in the Super Bowl or the Packers because they're going to eat you apart in the middle of the field. I mean, you can't do that. And I'm really worried about that. I'm really worried about giving up those soft, you know, the soft yards in the front like that. I really am. Yeah,
well, my opinion on the Patriots is they need to get somewhat back to that front seven that they used to run. I know that the schematics haven't changed much, but it just seems to me like they were a lot more defense oriented a few years ago.
Well, they were. That is the thing, and all the real fans around here know it. We know what it is. It's almost like we've become the opposite. We've become what the Colts used to be: score a ton of points and have no defense, and we hated that. And, you know, we hated that. And I hate the way that it's like that. And, you know what it is we let too many defensive players go. Now, granted, all those guys would have been old by now, most of them, except for maybe Asante Samuel. But along the way, I feel, because they wanted to be cheap, that they let players go about 2 years early. They let, like, three or four really good players go about 2 years early each, like Seymour and even Ty Law. I mean, all these guys straight down the line. I mean, they let them go to Asante Samuel. I mean, he could still be playing for us right now. We could use him.
Yeah, well, that's Belichick's way. Belichick, if he doesn't care who a player is, that's the one thing about that guy, and he got it from kind of from Parcells. He doesn't care who a player is. He just looks at it as a whole piece, and to him,
the only
guy I would see that is that he would never trade would be Brady. Anyone else, if someone wanted Welker for a couple draft picks, he would trade him. You know, I wouldn't
that's
be surprised.
Awful. And Welker's up this year. They need to sign him.
No, that's going to be interesting.
Oh, it's you know, and he and since he's been in with Brady since 2007 or whatever, he's had more catches in the league than anybody, than any receiver. Right. This guy,
right.
And he gets like 130 a year. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, it's unbelievable. Let's talk a little bit more of a league-wide thing. What do you think about the new rules? Here's what I think. I like the whole new idea about how it's kind of like the college thing, and if you come down and score, you know, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown, they got to match what you did or else you lose the game. But I don't like how they had that stipulation where if you score on the first possession, the other team doesn't get the chance. I thought that's stupid. I thought they had it right where they were going to give the team the other chance, but then if you score on the first possession, the other team doesn't get the chance. I don't like that. They should have done it the whole way.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense because, like you said, you score on the first possession. That would be the only reason for that rule.
Yeah, you're still screwing the people. Yeah, that's the most time it's going to happen.
Because because they didn't have a chance to you know, if a team – here's the thing. If a team goes and you each have two possessions and one kicks a field goal, now you get a chance to kick a field goal – That's not exactly fair. As earlier in the thing, you already had two possessions where you could have, you know, kicked the field goal, you know, or whatever. And I think that that's it's not right. And also, too, you're gonna have teams that. Well, here's another thing, Brian. Is check this. You may have teams that may be wary of kicking that field goal now because they might need seven because the offense might be that good.
Yes, exactly. There's all types of new strategies, and I think it's awesome. But I think that thing with the first drive where if the team scores in the first drive, you stick to the old rule. No, get rid of the old rule. Don't put your foot halfway in the door. You know what right. I mean? And they didn't really talk about that stipulation. I didn't hear about that until that game happened. I heard about the new overtime rules, but I didn't hear about the first drive thing. Then all of a sudden, Denver's winning the game, and I'm like, what's going on here? You know, I think they got that wrong, man. I think that, you know, the other team should have got a chance, just like they were going to do. You know what it does, too? It really takes the times you're going to punt. I mean, you're almost never going to punt in that type of overtime.
Right.
It's almost always four down territory.
Right, or unless you're going to punt just to try to pin them, but you know it's not a fair rule. I think if you're going either leave it the way it was,
yeah,
or you change it all the way.
Yeah, why did they do that, man? It was just one little thing that they added just to screw with everybody. It's like, come on, man, you guys had it right. They were doing something new and exciting, and I really liked it. I really liked the idea, and I was hoping they were going to do that for a long time. I hate college football, and I'm going to tell everybody right now, you're not going to hear me talk about college football. I'm sorry. I don't know anything about it. I don't watch it. Justin's probably talk about it sometimes. I don't really know college football. But I do love the overtime system, and I was so glad that they were going to adopt it. Go ahead. What were you going to say? I cut you off again.
Well, you know, actually, was a good system was the Kansas City overtime. Now, Kansas City overtime, and what that is each team gets the ball, I believe, on the 30 or the 20.
Yep.
And they get three chances each. You know, you go, then they go, you go, then they go. And whoever gets more points on the board, whether it be field goals or touchdown, wins.
That's cool, because if you kick a field goal, then you come back and score a touchdown. You don't lose yet. Like, you still get, you know, you can come back and get a couple touchdowns and hold them to field goals in the next two possessions and win.
Right, right. Yeah, that was something that I've seen at the high school level. College used to run it for a while, too. I don't know if it's ever been in place in the NFL. Maybe I'll Google it. But, you know, it's definitely an interesting way to do it. I don't know. Trying to think of some. You want to get into some baseball real quick, or do you want to wrap up?
Yeah. Why don't we? Why don't we real quick before we get into baseball? Why don't we just go through the four games real quick and give our predictions?
Sounds good.
Unless you want to hold that to the end. What do you think?
No. Let's do that now. Let's do it.
Why don't you go first? Whatever game you want to start with, and then I'll do the same game.
All right, hold on a second. Hold on, let me get it up so I can tell. What's the Saturday games? Hold on, do you have a schedule?
I know New England's playing Denver on Saturday. I think Baltimore is Sunday. Yeah, Baltimore and Houston Sunday. Okay. Yeah, I got a schedule right here.
All right, hold on, let me get to it just so I know. All right. Well, very, very quickly, what do you think about Houston, Baltimore? What do you think about that?
I honestly, and I wouldn't have thought this weeks ago, because I thought without Schaub that Houston was done.
Exactly.
I'm not that impressed with Baltimore. I know people want to put Baltimore on the same level as these elite teams, and I don't put them there. I put them on the next step down. I think Houston with Arian Foster. It's not going to be easy, but I really think that Houston's going to win comfortably. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think in the end, I'm looking for like a 27-10 Houston win.
I'm going against you here. I'm going Baltimore with the win. Well, explain why. Why do you think Houston? Then I'll go with why I think Baltimore.
I just think that. I just think that they're hot right now, and I just think that the way that they show that they can run the ball, and I think Arian Foster is a beast, and I know Baltimore's defense is good, and I know they're good against the run, but they're not what they used to be. They're not.
No, they aren't.
I don't think Flacco is going to have a very good game. I think he's actually declining already. Like, it seems like the last couple of years he's been getting worse. But what do you think?
My opinion is like this. I think that for my reason here, we're talking about two good defenses here. I'm thinking it's going to be come down to, you know, possession game, 13-17, something like that. My whole opinion though is that because Schaub is out, yes, we did see Yates play effectively. He was kind of like a Trent Dilfer. Yeah. Last week, you know, he threw enough when he had to, you know, even to Sanchez, you know, type. However, he has shown that he's prone to mistakes a couple times. You know, if Schaub was playing, I would make this, I would definitely, you know, go a little bit towards Houston. But I'm thinking Baltimore. I'm thinking Ray Rice controlling the clock. You know, possession game, keep, you know, throw a couple underneath to Bolden, maybe break a long one to Torrey Smith, you know, and defensive wise, they aren't what they used to be, but with Houston being one dimensional right now, as far as, although Andre Johnson is back. So, I mean, that's one thing we saw this week. Andre Johnson is back in full. So, I mean, you do have the Andre Johnson where you can kind of just throw it up and he'll catch it. Type thing, almost like a, you know, Calvin Johnson type. So, you know, it could go either way, you know, but my opinion, I think Baltimore's going to take that one. But you're right though. They could have been a little more dominant. I think, you know, last couple weeks, I think Flacco is a second tier quarterback, in my opinion. I think he's,
I think he's third tier, honestly.
Third tier. Well, for example, who's first tier? I'm sure we all agree. Rodgers, Brady, and
and second tier would be guys like Matt Schaub, Matt Ryan, you know, guys like that. Right. I don't think Flacco's on that tier.
You're right. I think Eli just made it up.
I think Eli's at the top of the second tier right now. He's playing really good this year.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely.
He's
made
cracking
it up
the door for the elite. You know, I mean, he's right there.
Yeah, I'd say he.
But he's got to do it consistently, Justin. You know, we got to see him do it for 2 or 3 years in a row.
Exactly. I will tell you one thing, and that's helped us a lot is that Victor Cruz, man. Oh, that kid is a speed demon, and just having a playmaker, like that that's what the Giants have lacked for years. We've never had a playmaker like that. Yes, we've always had a Knicks, you know, Knicks a tumor type.
Yeah,
you know, which Knicks is a great wideout. However, Cruz just gives you that explosiveness, you know, to where you throw a pass underneath and the guy takes it 99 yards. You know, I think the biggest difference between the Giants this year and last year, you know, or the last couple of years is the addition of Cruz and the emergence of Jason Pierre-Paul, who is also unbelievable. I think he's one of the best. Probably, I don't know. I want to get it over my head, but this season he was the best all around defensive lineman. I don't want to say he's the best overall yet. Jared Allen's still up there. A couple other guys, you know, are still up there. Even he may not even be the best in his team if you get Tuck healthy. But Pierre Paul has been the difference. You know, he tracks down running backs from behind. He, you know, quarterbacks have to know where he is in every play of the game. And having him and Tuck and Umanyora out there, and even, you know, Kiwanuka, it's tough for other teams. But I don't know. I jumped off the Ravens thing we were talking about.
No, that's okay. We're done with that Ravens game, anyways. What game you want to move to next?
Well, one quick thing I did want to note about Houston though is they are still it's not just Arian Foster is good as he is, but also Ben Tate, their backup. Has proved to be good. Now, here's the thing. If Houston comes out early and scores, I think that if they get in the driver's seat of that game, they can take it away. But it's, you know, for the main thing, I think it's going to be, you know, whoever can get ahead first and kind of hold the other team off. Neither team is that explosive in the past. You know, neither team is a right down the field, march down the field scoring team.
Yep.
You know, which is very weird because I thought Anquan Bolden was going to, you know, where has he been as far as, you know, that their passing game? Some weeks he's non-existent.
I know. It's like, exactly. And you thought he was going to be a huge addition for them. Now, he started out pretty hot, didn't he? Didn't he have a few good games in the beginning? Then he just kind of disappeared as it went on.
Yep, and even this year, because, you know, I had there's a guy, I picked him in my fantasy league. I thought Flacco was going to have a good year this year, which he was, you know, okay, but nowhere near the year. I thought he was going to take a step up this year, Flacco. And to make a long story short, it's been Ray Rice that saved this offense this year. I also think a problem with them too has been that they haven't had a great play at the tight end, although Dixon is coming around just like the Giants with Ballard too. But all right, well, let's get into the other game that neither of us have a stake in.
New Orleans San Fran.
Yeah, New Orleans San Fran. What do you think about that?
Well, right now, honestly, the way they're playing and the way they've been playing pretty much the whole second half of the season, I mean, the Saints are pretty much unstoppable right now. Now, I know that San Fran's been playing really good all year. Alex Smith, he's been playing way above what you would consider his ceiling usually. I mean, he's been playing really well.
Yep.
I don't think he's going to break down in this game like some people do. Not only break down, like get injured, but I don't think he's going to, you know, start coughing it up or anything under pressure. I honestly think that San Fran, you know, the thing with the San Fran, their D is really good against the run. But their D against the pass isn't that great.
No.
So, you know, well, I think New Orleans, you know, I think it's going to be close for a long time. I don't think New Orleans is going to get up and jump all over them. But I do think they are going to probably beat them by about 8 points.
I agree.
Down to it. I think
agree.
They're going to kind of pull away in the second half, you know.
Yep, I agree, and I got two words for you. Sproles and Jimmy Graham.
Sproles has been awesome, dude. Sproles is – he's so fast.
It's unbelievable what a guy like that can do. You know, and I think that the two of them have been the biggest differences for Breeze, even because, you know,
that type of offense, he's perfect for it.
Yeah. You know, we'll talk about Jimmy Graham in a second, but Sproles right there. Here's a guy in San Diego. Yeah, they had some use for him, but, you know, as far as it's going in New Orleans, this guy's had a career year, and he's just unbelievable. He's like Mighty Mouse out there. And I think that a guy like that, you know, and especially they have like a four running back game going on, they can keep their guys fresh and kind of you know, wear down the San Fran defense. To have him on a third down as your check down guy, you know, you can't beat that. You have to keep an eye on him at all times, Sproles. Now, here's another thing that stops getting to Jimmy Graham for a second. Here's a guy, he's 6'7". Big guy, you know, and fast as lightning. I think he's also been, you know, he's had a
huge year.
Yeah, his coming out party, pretty much.
He's had a huge year. Now, the other thing, the reason why I don't think that New Orleans is going to get up all over him and have this huge blowout is because of Frank Gore. I think Frank Gore is going to have a really good day, and he's just really going to keep Drew Brees off the field for a lot of the day. But then when it comes down to it, you know, I think in the fourth quarter is really where the Saints kind of pull away a little bit. It's going to be like a, you know, like a 28-20 game, but I think that it's going to really feel more like a two-touchdown game when it's at the end.
Right. Yeah, I feel the same way, too. San Fran has been good this year. They beat the Giants. They did beat some other good teams. However, the division they're in, you know, you're talking about the worst division in football. You know, however, you know, Gore has been great, and also they have a great two tight end attack with Vernon Davis and Delanie Walker. The only thing right now is you know, they just released one of their wideouts. Who was it? But they you know, their wideouts are very inexperienced, and I don't know. I just think that unless they play unless Gore has a breakout day, that I think we're, you know, that's the only way that they're going to get this done here.
Yeah, they're really one dimensional. I mean, Alex Smith isn't going to beat the Saints through the air. I mean, he's not.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, he's only thrown 17 touchdowns this year. He's not this prolific passer, you know. So what do you think the why don't you give everybody a score real quick? What do you think it's going to be?
My final of San Fran is let me think about it. I'm gonna say 28-17, something
right,
like that.
Good. All right. Now let's talk about the Giants in Green Bay. Why don't you let me talk for a second here about it. You know, you heard pretty much a lot what we said about the Giants. Now, the thing, I've really noticed, you know, like I was telling Justin a little while ago, is the way Eli's playing this year. I mean, he's playing really, really, really well. And I do think that he can absolutely keep up with Aaron Rodgers in a shootout in this game. I pretty much think that it's going to, you know, it's going to come down to the absolute last wire. And I'd hate to break your heart like this, Justin, but I really do think the Giants are going to have a lead going late, and I'm really thinking something like a Brandon Jacobs fumble is going to happen, and then Green Bay is going to capitalize on it. I just don't – he just chokes a lot. Every time I yep. – not every time I've seen him, but I've seen him fumble a lot.
And hey, it may not even be Brandon Jacobs, but I have the exact same feeling going in as a Giants fan. You know, as a Giants fan, there's a lot of ups, a lot of downs. It's like the crack heroin, you know, type team.
Do you remember the game you played against the Patriots in 2007? Not the Super Bowl, but the end of the season game.
Yes. Yep.
I feel that this game's gonna have that type of feel to it. You know what I mean? I feel like your game against the Packers is going to have that type of feel to it. And I really do feel that they're going to put up serious points and the Giants are going to be up. And I just feel that they're going to have a late turnover. And then Aaron Rodgers is just going to come down the field and he's going to score a touchdown and they're going to win by 3 or 4 points.
Yep, exactly. I'm thinking the same thing here, too. I'm thinking that, you know, unless, you know, the only way here is if the Giants pass rush shows again. That's the only chance, good thing. I think.
That's where Green Bay's been a little banged up.
Right.
That's a good point that you made, because as we know, like when the Giants won the Super Bowl, I mean, it was the pass rush. I mean, their pass rush that year was sick. I mean, that's what, you know, pretty much got you. How many games in a row did they win that year? Going into the playoffs and everything, they were on fire. What was it? 9 games in a row or something?
What you're talking about? 2007. Okay, we beat the Patriots. I forget. I think we won our last 9 or 10. I think something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, they were on fire. The pass rush. If they get to, I mean, and you can say this about any game. I mean, this isn't really a breakthrough analysis here. I mean, any quarterback, if you get to him early, you're going to give him a lot of problems. You know, but that is where Green Bay has been a little banged up. I think they actually had like 3 offensive linemen out the other week, didn't they?
Yeah, no, Green Bay and their defense has been banged up too. That's the thing about Green Bay.
Oh, their defense is not good.
It's weird because they have a lot of names on their defense. You know, for example, you know, you have AJ Hawk, Clay Matthews, Desmond Bishop. That's a, you know, a great linebacking core there. You know, BJ Raji. But the thing, and look, Charles Woodson, Morgan Burnett. You know, these guys all put up numbers, but their points per game is terrible, you know, and I think it has to do with the fact that they score so quick that they're on the field so much. They're the 31st overall defense.
Yeah, and that's by yards. I think points per game is more important than yards. Yards is very deceiving, especially in this day and age where all the quarterbacks are putting up a ton of yards. I think yards are so deceiving. I think points per game is really what people should look at. Isn't that what really matters? I mean, how many points do they give up? I mean, that's what matters.
Yeah, great.
And I think – I don't know what they are, but I know that they were like, giving up 23, 24 points a game for a while.
Let me get a stat on that. I'll tell you another thing, too. As far as this game goes, as far as the Giants have been – we've been terrible inside the 20 this year. Yeah. And that's going to also play a difference. You know, when we get down in the end zone there, you know, we get down in the red zone, you know, can we run the ball a couple times, you know, maybe throw a couple passes. It seems like they go down there and all of a sudden it's like I'd rather have them have the ball to 35 because I've never seen a team like this before. For one, you have a bruising back in Jacobs. I know he's been running like abroad this year. Some games like the Dallas game, he turned it up, you know, and we got Bradshaw back, you know, full healthy by now. You know, there shouldn't be any excuses, but you know, inside the 20 this year, we've had, like you said, fumbles, guys like Jacobs, our tight end Ballard, guys have dropped balls, you know, what's his name? Manningham has dropped balls down there. Cruz has dropped balls. So, I mean, the main thing here, I think, is to capitalize any chance that we have, And that's the main thing is to, you know, to try to keep the, you know, to try to keep our offense on the field for a while and beat down their defense because, you know, instead of it getting the opposite done to us.
Yeah. What's up with that too with Jacobs? You know, he could be such a beast, and then he just likes to drop the ball. it's unbelievable with him.
Not only does he drop the ball, but he sidesteps sometimes. And you have a guy that's 260 pounds, and maybe it's, you know, he's been in the league 6-7 years now. Maybe he's feeling the effects of the, you know, he's been a little injury prone the past couple years, so maybe he's trying to avoid that big hit or whatever. But here's a guy that anyone will tell you that plays football. I'm sure you played football before too. If you're sidestepping it, that's when you're gonna get hurt. If you're not going 100%. And I think that he's got this little bit of where he's like thinking of the long term instead of thinking of the here and now. When, if anything, the here and now is how you're going to win your contract. His contract's up after this year. So, I mean, I think Jacobs now hopefully the last 3 weeks of the season, he turned it up finally. And hopefully now maybe he can hold on to the ball and run north and south instead of east and west.
He seems like his head's just not in it sometimes.
It wasn't this year. He was upset about the amount of playing time he was going to be getting. He was mad that not that Bradshaw got named the starter, but he expected like a 60-40, you know, load split or whatever. And the fact that they're more of a passing team now, you know, it's another case of crybaby-itis. And it's sad to see these guys getting paid all this money, and yet they're out there crying about, you know, their playing time or whatever. When you're on a great team and have a chance, would you rather be on the Chiefs? You know, would you rather be on the Dolphins and have 120 yards a game, or, you know, that's a question I think a lot of guys need to answer, and that's a problem with pro sports these days.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. All right. Well, you know, basically, you know, I'll give everybody my prediction on this game on the Green Bay and the Giants. Like I said, I think Green Bay comes back and wins it late, and I think it's going to be like it's going to be a high scoring game. I think it's going to be like 45-41 Green Bay.
Yeah, my here's my score, and I got to go with my team here. So I'm just gonna lay it out there and say 40-36 Giants. And I said it before. I'm not, you know, trust me. I'm very. Most of you are probably thinking now, you know, that's. But, you know, all right, I'm being a homer for this game, and I'll say it. The Packers are the better team. I'm just hoping that we can go into Lambeau with a little bit of luck and do something here.
I don't think people are looking at it like they have no shot. I don't think people are looking at it like that, especially people around here. We all know what happened to us when we were undefeated all the way to the Super Bowl, and we still lost. So, you know, it's pretty much the same team, too. I mean, you got a lot of the same players.
Yep. Yeah, and I think you hear the main thing here is keeping the problem that's hurt us a lot is we've been killed a lot by tight ends this year, and just by these long passes and everything. They have a great tight end in Jermichael Finley. Some games he's been very underused, but it's like they haven't needed to use him. So I mean, our main thing here is just tackling guys. If we can tackle guys and keep pressure on Rodgers. And, you know, enforce some three and outs. They don't have a running game at all. Ryan Grant and
he's a big disappointment.
He totally. And ever since he got hurt, and then who's the backup? Slipped my mind. Stark. James Starks. And they have the rookie Brandon Sane. You know, none of them are really that big of threats. However, you have Jordy Nelson, Jones, Jennings, Driver. You know, and then you have Finley, and you know, he's thrown a, and then Kuhn at fullback, another guy he's got up.
Yeah,
you know,
he's been really good.
Four touchdowns, six touchdowns this year.
Yeah,
so,
he's been really good. All right, let's move on to the last game, and then we'll play a quick song for a break and come back, and we'll talk some baseball.
Sounds good.
All right, so why don't you go first this time? What do you think about New England and Denver?
All right. Well, my opinion is this. I mean, obviously, going into this, going into Foxborough Stadium, what is it called now? Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. See. All right. Same thing. You know, we all know what I'm talking about. But anyway, going into the cold area. I know Denver is used to playing in the cold weather too, but you know, just the fact of being in New England, just the fact of the fans, just the fact of how good New England has been and the beating they put on Denver this year, I think it's a no-brainer that you got to think New England in this game. However, you know, Denver has been that team this year that has been the, you know, the surprise. They've been the surprise kid. So, I mean, you know, you can't count them out. However, I think it's going to take a real miracle. And I don't think God has anything to do with it, but it's going to take a real miracle from something to, you know, for Denver to pull this one out.
Yeah, I honestly, and you know, I'm a guy that obviously I watch all the New England games, being that I'm from Boston and whatever. You know, you hear a lot about Rodgers this year and a lot about the Packers. Tom Brady has had pretty close to another stellar MVP season. I mean, he has been pretty damn good this year. He's had a couple games where he's thrown a couple picks, but I mean, besides that, he's really put the team on his back, and he's just carved up defenses. I mean, he's doing the same thing that Breeze and Rodgers are doing. You could take either one of the three right now, and you plop them, and I think you could plop either one of the three and the other three's team, and you get pretty much the same results. I mean, they're all on fire right now, and you know, Brady's done it time and time again, and I know that they got bounced out last year. And I am a little worried because they have a lot to prove, and the fans of New England haven't got excited all year. We've been waiting for a reason to cheer. I mean, we have had to take every win and just take it in stride and not get too excited because of what's happened in the last 2 years. And then with this team, you know, all they care about is playoffs, and people, we haven't really even, at least that's the way I felt. We haven't even really been able to enjoy a friggin' 13-3 season because everybody's waiting for the first playoff game, and this is it. And I don't think that Denver's going to come in here with an inexperienced quarterback that already had so much trouble with us. Remember, we're the team that he hit the wall against after he had won like 8 games in a row. By the time the second half came, Brady just absolutely tore them up. They had a couple turnovers and stuff. And the other thing, too, is Bill Belichick one of the greatest coaches of all time? I don't know. You know, I don't know yet. But is he a great coach? He's absolutely a great coach. And I think when he's going to game plan for a rookie quarterback for the second time seeing him in a season, I don't think that Tim Tebow is going to really be able to do too much of anything. I think the Pats are going to look to be a little more balanced and maybe get Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis involved a little bit. I think he's been really, really, really underused this year. But without weapons, with Welker, with the tight ends that we have, Gronkowski and Hernandez, I really see them rolling over Denver. I mean, I'm looking for a really high scoring game by the Pats. I'm looking maybe like 55-31. I mean, I really think they're going to smoke them in the second half. I really do.
I agree. Now let's talk about something for a second. Let's talk about Gronkowski.
Unbelievable
is right. Here's another kid that you know, wasn't really that highly, you know, thought of, and here he comes into the system, and he's pretty quick for his size. He's a bowling ball, and the guy has 17 receiving touchdowns. I believe one
broke the record.
He would have 18 if it wasn't one of them. They call it a rushing touchdown.
Tight end all time record now for receiving touchdowns and for is either the yards or the receptions, one or the other. He has both records. He has the touchdown record, and he's been adding to it. It's unbelievable. I mean, he's so good. You see them throw to him, Justin, it's unbelievable. I mean, they can't do anything. Nobody has any defense for it. And then at the beginning of the year, okay, it was Hernandez that looked like this. So Hernandez has the same capabilities. He's really good too, man. I mean, he's not setting the records, but he's unbelievable too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was so good in the first, like, 5 games, Hernandez. Then he got hurt, so he was out a few games, and then Gronkowski went nuts.
Well, I'll tell you what, Hernandez would be the overall in the league, I think he's like has the fourth or fifth most yards for a tight end there.
Yeah.
And by the way, Gronkowski did break the yards record also. He broke Jimmy Smith's from this year. Aaron Hernandez, of course, from Connecticut. And played for UConn. Yeah, here's a guy though. You know, like you said, on his total yards this year, 910 yards, 7 touchdowns in 14 games.
And that's when other tight end has 17 touchdowns. That's pretty freaking good, man.
That's insane. insane right there.
Insane. And Brady's been playing out of his mind the last, like, 4 or 5 years. I mean, he's been so good. You know, it's going to be a sad day around here when he's gone. I mean, people aren't, you know, they've gotten so used to having a quarterback that plays like this. And my honest opinion about the whole Brady Belichick, you know, discussion is it's Brady. You know, no matter what coach he had, this guy, you know, he's so good on the field.
I agree.
He, no matter who his coach would be, unless it was an absolute horror show, he'd still have his 3 rings, I think. And I'm not saying Belichick's not a great coach. I think he is a great coach, but he's been – it's like getting Michael Jordan falling in your lap. And right. I know that might sound like homerism to some people out there, but, I mean, let's admit it. I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, the guy's been
unbelievable. I agree. Brady is great. I wanted to say my X factor for this game. No doubt about it. Brady's going to go down as top three, top five quarterbacks of all time, depending on what, you know. He still has probably 5 great years left in him. So, but yeah, my X factor for this game here, is going to be Deion Branch, because you know Welker's going to be 1-on-1 with Champ Bailey on the other side. Now Champ Bailey's held a lot of good receivers this year. Don't get me wrong. I still think Welker's going to have 6 or 7 catches, but it's going to matter on what the guys like Branch and Edelman and these other guys can do. Uh-huh. And of course, Hernandez too. I do think when it comes down to it, that the Patriots have too many weapons. But I just wanted to mention that you said Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and that could be a point too. If they do come out and they get their, you know, passing attack shut down in the first half, do they come out with the run with Green Ellis, you know, or
I would hope they try to establish it a little bit earlier than that.
Right, right. I would think they're going to come out first and probably try to run and get them off their feet and then throw to the tight ends and then get Welker involved, which is probably, you know, most likely going to be their game plan. I think, you know, you have the first option go Ellis and tight ends that go Welker on third down and whatnot. It's going to be interesting. Like I said, it's going to take a lot more than God to help Tebow this week, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I got to say, though, McGahee has been great this year. He's been a little inconsistent. He could break your back, but not enough to win. My score here is 41 to, actually, you know what? I'm gonna go a little lower than that. I think it's going to. I don't see Belichick running up the score. I'm gonna say 33 to 13.
All right, awesome. And guys, I said 55-31. I said 55-31. All right, guys, we're gonna take a quick break. We're just gonna play a song or two, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about some baseball. You know, we'll talk some off-season stuff. I want to talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame and how disappointed I am with some of the people that have some votes, and I'll get a little bit into that. I want to talk a little bit about interleague rules that I think they should change or at least address. I'm sure Justin has some things he wants to talk about. Like I said, we'll play a quick song. Just stick here with us, and we'll be back in about 4 minutes. Okay, everybody. Welcome back to the Real News Online Sports Radio Show. We're still working on the title, so we will come up with something a little better. This is our first kickoff show, and I'm joined here tonight by Justin Cook. Justin couldn't hear me for a second because the way I have things wired up. But Justin, we're back. You here?
Yeah, I heard you. I'm there.
Okay, we're back on.
Yeah, I was just going through, actually. Looking at some baseball news and whatnot, a few minor signings and whatnot. However, everyone is still waiting to see where Prince Fielder ends up this year.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. And now, with Pujols already being signed by the Angels, right now, you know, everyone is waiting really right now on where Pujols. I mean, where Fielder ends up. And if Yu Darvish ends up coming over, Darvish, of course, if you don't know, he's a Japanese pitcher, was great in the World Baseball Classic. He's been unbelievable in Japan. We know that sometimes Japanese players don't translate into American that so well. You know, we have guys like Kaz Matsui, and, you know, of course, there is a success stories, Ichiro, Nomo, you know, Matsuzaka to a limited extent, limited extend, you know, he's been injury prone, but Darvish is supposedly going to be a game changing, you know, pitcher. If Texas gets him, I think you can pretty much almost seal up the West for them, even though the Angels have made a lot of moves too.
Yeah.
As far as off season trading off season stuff goes, I don't know, where do you see Fielder end up? Have you looked into it at all or what?
Not really that much. Well, I know he's certainly not going to end up in Boston or New York, so you can take them out of the picture. Who's in the bid? Who's pretty much in the running for him right now?
I believe the Cubs still have their hat in there. The Cubs do. The Nationals do. However, the Nationals have Andy LaRoche at first base blocking them. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I've heard the Nationals' name thrown out there a lot, but you hear that a lot with them, and then they don't end up making the move, so.
I'll tell you, the Nationals are going to be a team to reckon with in the next couple of years. You know, for one, you look through their lineup, and you have guys like Michael Morris, who had a breakout year this year, batted 306, 31 homers, I believe. Jason Worth, you know, LaRoche, who knows what to expect out of him. He's been a 30 home run guy. Zimmerman is a perennial all-star at third base. You know, and then you have Ian Desmond, you know, you got a lot of young talent, Wilson Ramos, Danny Espinosa. You know, and here's a team that has Strasburg. They now have Gio Gonzalez, and, you know, they have a great back end of the bullpen too, with Tyler Clippard and, Drew Storen. So, I mean,
Strasburg,
you know,
is unbelievable, man. He's going to be something else.
He really is, you know, and you know, the thing is I mean, they're in the one of the toughest divisions in baseball, the toughest in the National League, I believe, the East, especially with the Marlins getting Jose Reyes and Burle, you know, and the Phillies just being who they are, and you know, just what they've, you know, their pitching staff and whatnot, but I think that they're going to be you know, if they get Fielder. You're looking at a definite wild card team, I think. You know, it's hard to say. I'm trying to get to the
How many years is he? How many years is he trying to demand? 8 years?
I believe 8. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, with his size, you know, that's going to scare a lot of people off. But he has been so good, man. People don't realize how much of a slugger he is. I mean, He's like, you know, besides Pujols, I mean, honestly, even with the signing that we made with Adrian Gonzalez, I'd drop him in a heartbeat for Prince Fielder. I would.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'd dump him in a heartbeat. I think that they're two guys that they're almost interchangeable. I think that with, you know, it depends on your
Gonzalez,
your ballpark.
Really, you know, Gonzalez looked really good. He kept his average up, but man, he had no power the second half of the year. He wasn't driving any run at all. He really wasn't.
Well, what do you have a little problem with your horn there? Yeah, no, I think for the Red Sox this year in general, I think Gonzalez, I think you're going to see a little more power out of him. And it didn't matter this year. He had Ellsbury make up for it. 31 home runs. I don't know if he's going to repeat that next year. However, now, you know, I think that, of course, I forgot to mention Papelbon went to the Phillies as well. But, you know, here's a Red Sox team that is looking pretty good. I don't know why they haven't signed an everyday right fielder right now, especially with Kalish coming off of surgery and the fact that they traded Reddick. But I like their bullpen a lot better than it's been before. You know, it just remains to be seen if Carl Crawford can bounce back and be the player that he was with Tampa Bay.
The Stodders had a really disappointing year, too. They really did. Oh, yeah. The only one that really did good was Beckett, and then he even faded off in the end. We really needed a couple big games from Beckett and from Lester down the stretch, and they couldn't come through. And then, you know, that was, everybody knows about how they, oh, Lackey sucks. He's one of the worst signings they ever made. They give him like $19 million. Here's my problem with the Red Sox. The Red Sox will go out, right, And you know, people like to say, "Oh, you know, just spend whatever." And you know what? I'm kind of to that degree because they have so much money coming in. They're not a team that's going to be limited if they go and get a player. If they want another player, they'll find a way to do it. But what they'll do, Justin, is they'll go out and they'll spend $19 million on a guy like Lackey. But then when they have their own guys that are really good, they won't re-sign them for big money. And I have a bad feeling with Ellsbury. I have a bad feeling that when it comes time to pay Ellsbury, they're not going to pay him.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're going to have to see that now with a different GM there. What's his name? I know he was
Sherrington.
Okay, right. Yeah, Sherrington. Okay. You know, it remains to be seen if he's going to be as close-walleted as Epstein was. Epstein, of course, I think it helped him at some times, and other times it hindered him. You know, I think with Lackey, I think that they kind of got gypped there, and I think that, you know, here's a guy that never had an ERA really above 4.20, never had, you know, every season was a 200 inning pitch season, you know, and I think that you had to think that they were just going for a, you know, bottom of the line start, you know, a third or fourth starter to eat some innings up, and he really was a disappointment. As far as the rest of them go, you know, I don't know. I know Seves was great for you guys. I don't know, but coming up on this year though, I don't understand. I know you're in the running for a starter. I know that they're looking between Jared Jurgens possibly making a trade.
We're even talking maybe Roy Oswalt.
Roy Oswalt and Edwin Jackson, exactly.
Yep.
I think Oswalt is a guy that they may end up paying too much money for, and that's
I'd rather go after Jurgens.
Yes, I think that would be your best bet. You're the guy you can get rid of the least amount of prospects to. You know, you'll probably get rid of him for a prospect, and then maybe maybe I don't think Kalish is on the table anymore, but you know, maybe a prospect, a couple prospects, and maybe a Darnell McDonald or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to tell because I know McDonald is somewhat in there. You know, they like him as like a 24th, 25th guy. However, now you have Nick Punto, you know, who's not really nothing to brag about, but, you know, he might be that utility guy you have.
They don't really need much, honestly. I mean, they need to get a right fielder, and they need to shore up the pitching staff a little. Honestly, if the guys they had just performed the way they were supposed to last year, they would have been okay. I don't know, man. And the thing with Daisuke, you know, the thing with Daisuke getting injured, how you said he's been injury prone, I think a lot of that has to do with his stubbornness. You know, he's been very reluctant to go along with the Red Sox training program for everything that they do as far as training pitches, because in Japan it's vastly different. You know, they pitch different amount of pitches, they pitch different days, right. Everything's different. They even throw a different size baseball, okay? And he wants to do his own training regimen, and I think that's kind of really affected him in a negative way. I think they're really pissed off about that. I would be if I were them.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. In general, my whole thing about baseball and how they treat the pitchers, I think that it's bush league. It's bullshit. I think that as far as it goes, you want to look for an organization that has it right. Look to the Texas Rangers. There's a team that when Nolan Ryan, of course, there's a guy that threw however 5,000 strikeouts. God knows how many innings. I can Google it. But,
oh my God,
you know,
he was awesome, man.
Right. So I mean, you know, you have him taking over the Rangers down there. And what he's done is implement long toss, and a few other teams have caught on to it. And what they're, you know, what it is they're actually strengthening the arms, and they're not counting the innings. Counting the innings a lot of times it can be deceptive, because you know, for one, you know, an inning could be nine pitches, or it could be 50 pitches. It could be 20 curveballs, which are more taxing on the arm, or you know, or it could be.
Yep.
Six fastballs, you know, it's hard to say.
Well, even if you're pitching under pressure situations, that takes more out of you.
Of course, you know. So I mean, it's totally. I think the pitch count thing is something. I think that the Yankees ruined Jabba Chamberlain.
I hate it, Justin. I hate it.
Yeah.
They just all of a sudden started doing it around. I'd say around 2002, 2003, you started really hearing it a lot. You know,
yep. You
started really seeing them pay it. And you have guys that were on strict 100 pitch counts, and they'd be throwing a great game. And you get the manager going in there to yank them out. And I'm like, what the hell are they doing? It's unbelievable, man. I hate that. I think I think the game's become so micromanaged, it drives me friggin' nuts.
I agree. You know, and here's the thing. There's certain times where you want to bring in the lefty to get that lefty out, or but for the most part, let the guys play the game. That's what they're there
for. These guys are all professionals. Let them, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, is it really, come on. Lefty, righty, if he's a good pitcher and he's a crappy batter, let him face him, you know?
Right. You know, I think the whole thing here is too, it's shown, though, the past couple of years, because the pitchers that have been successful have been the guys that have thrown 245 innings. Yep. You know, Verlander, Sabathia.
Halliday.
You know,
I love
guys
Halliday.
From the Phillies.
I love Halliday, man.
Exactly.
He's awesome. He throws tons of complete games every year.
Right. You know, and that's the thing. I think the Phillies have done more of that too, getting into the long toss and stuff, because you know they're Cliff Lee. Those guys seem to be, you know, holding up, you know, pretty well as well, even though they're getting a little older. You know, it's I can't stand it though. The baby, you know, the pro athletes in general, but especially the pitchers in Major League Baseball. Nothing's worse than that.
No, yeah, it is, and they you know they come and they only work one out of five games. And they get baby like they're so pampered, they really are.
Yeah, it's insane now. You know, and then here's the thing. I mean, you have relievers. Back in the day, a reliever used to throw 100 innings. Nowadays, you know, relievers, we can't throw more than two nights in a row. Well, if you only threw,
I hate that.
A third of an inning, it's just on all aspects of the game. If you only threw a third of an inning, what does it matter? You know, I mean, I understand the guys have, you know, a certain amount of days, but when you're talking about crunch time, you're talking about
just there's a lot of that here, man.
Where I'm at
in Boston, I mean, they do it a lot. I mean, the pitch count, especially when we had Pedro Martinez the last few years. I mean, they really you'd hear them talk about it all the time on the radio. He's getting close to that 100 pitch count. I don't give a damn. He's got freaking 13 strikeouts and it's 3-0. I don't care how many pitches he's thrown.
Exactly.
Tell me when a guy gets on second base, warm somebody up then. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You know, or you know, nothing wrong with having a guy warm and in case they get in that jam, especially, you know, those 2-3-0 games. But, you know, I think to a pitcher, though, knowing he has that number glooming over him is another thing, too, that now he's trying to make an out. You know, now he's you know, he's trying to work as deep as he can, you know, and show him that he can still stay in it. I think that it's just a lot in their psyche in general. Now, baseball is one of the biggest psychiatric type sports to where, you know, your mind plays the biggest part. It's not like football so much to where, you know, it's mind over matter. To where baseball, if you get in a slump or, you know, you get in a, it can really affect you. It can end some people's careers. Look at guys like Rick Ankiel. Luckily, he could hit too because his pitching career was over. You know, and there's tons of guys. Look at Dontrelle Willis. The guy was one of the best in baseball. And here's a guy that's been, you know, he had a little bounce back year last year, but nowhere near the dominant form that he had in the early 2000s, you know, and he's only about 32 years old. So it's not like he's, you know, it's not like it's injuries or anything else. It's just the, you know, the psyche. And I think that the more you mess with it, you know, the worse these guys are going to do. And that's the problem with baseball.
Here's my problem with baseball, and I have a few problems. You know, in a few minutes, we've talked about it before, you know, some of the things I think they should do with interleague as far as the rules and stuff, and we'll get into that in a minute. But I want to talk about, you know, a lot of these other sports, they've gotten it right, like the NBA, the NFL. They've kind of catered to the fans. They've changed their rules a little bit. They've changed their marketing strategies. You know, baseball has a great history, all right? We both know that. Baseball's history is – I mean, that's what baseball is. Baseball's numbers, its stats, its history. It's the uniqueness of different ballparks. But in some cases, man, you got to change a little bit, and they need to evolve the game a little bit, and they need to do a few things to speed it up. I mean, I don't think we need to have, like, shot clock timers out there between pitches, but I think, you know, these guys being able to call a timeout, say, five times in an at-bat, I mean – You can't have that. You got to limit something. You got to limit maybe how many times the catcher can come out and talk to the pitcher. You got to limit something because it's really they're going to have a hard time. They're going to find out in about another 10 or 15 years. They're really not going to have that top talent to be recruiting because nobody's going to be into baseball. It's just it takes too long for some of these games, especially some of these American League East games. I mean, they're 4 hours at a minimum, you know? I love it. You know, I love the long games. I don't mind, but there's a lot of people that won't watch it because of that. And I think they really do need to speed it up a little bit. And I'm a traditionalist in a lot of ways, but I think it's really hurting them now to a point. I mean, you got like, I don't know, man. You've seen the Yankees and Red Sox games. I mean, they go on forever. Yeah. And there's no need. Why should a batter have to call a timeout when he's in the box? I mean, if he's got to tie his shoes or something, you know what I mean? It's like they do it every pitch. It's like, what's going on here?
And here's another thing too, Brian, that you also got to think in there too, is you have these a lot of times it's like they bring out these pitchers who have just been pitching in the bullpen, and now they're allowed all these pitches on the mound too before they warm up. It's all these little things that make the game that long, and it makes it, well, hey, it's not like back in the day that rule was put in because the guy was coming in out of the, you know, probably didn't warm up too long because the pitchers used to pitch all day. Now I say give them three pitches on the mound and let's go, you know, instead of giving them 10, you know. And I think there's a lot of things like that, you know.
And they're doing the lefty-righty. They're going lefty-righty, switching them out, and they're all coming out and getting 10 warm-up pitches. It's like, come on.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying, late in the game when, you know, a lot of times people are trying to go to bed and miss the end of the game because, you know,
it's too long.
It ends up taking an hour for the last two innings.
It's too long. And I'm going to say this, you know, and I think I'm – maybe not around here because I think this still is a baseball town as good as the Patriots have been. I mean, the Red Sox have been really good too, and it's always been a baseball town. I'm a baseball guy. Baseball is my favorite sport. I love baseball. You know, you could ask me, you know, who has the record in this, who has the record in that. You know, I know some of it, and, you know, I really like it. And it's just – they really need to change. I mean, they do. I mean, there's no other way around it. Baseball needs to appeal to young people again because right now they look at it as boring, and they look at football as cool. They don't look at baseball as cool. And I'll be honest with you, you know, it's even to me sometimes, it's like you can't even watch a whole game sometimes because you just get lulled to sleep by all these pitching changes and all the catches coming out to the mound every time. It's like they got to limit that. I mean, that's something that wouldn't really, you know, hurt anybody too much. If they just limited that, I mean, it goes on way too much.
No, I definitely agree. You know, I don't know. I think that as far as getting the kids back into baseball, I don't know. I think you know, a lot of this has to do with the fact that the generation of kids growing up nowadays, you don't see them outside playing pickup baseball like we used to when we were kids, you know, or playing home run derby. And I think that,
well, that's because it's not marketed to them. It's not cool to them. It's on too late. It goes too long. They can't never see the whole game, like you said.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just. It's something that really out there that and also too, they only play in organized leagues now. As for what, you know, when we would play all day, I think it's something that you're not going to see a lot of Americans in as much. I think it's going to be in other countries as much, but as far as Americans, I don't see it, Americans lasting in baseball. I see, you know, Japan and all these other countries that make it fun and you know, that's one thing about if you watch the World Baseball Classic. You saw these other countries, and they were having, you know, they were having a ball at their games, and you know, I know some of it's a little corny. Remember, they had those annoying.
I don't think it's corny, Justin. I love watching the World Baseball Classic. I love baseball, and I watch that. It's just different, and it's. I like seeing guys play for their country in these other countries because they play so hard, man. It's so much.
No, I was talking about the things, though, those noisemakers that they have. The Korean one. Yeah. no. I agree. No, I'm a big fan of the World Baseball Classic. I think it's something that should be. I think it should be run more. I thought this year was up, but it's not up for another year or two. I watched pretty much every game, and I was excited watching the Netherlands beat the Dominicans and everything a couple of years ago. You know, that reminds me too of another thing too, the sad death of Greg Houman, who got murdered by his younger brother in the Netherlands. There was an up and coming guy there, Houman. And, you know, just makes you wonder. But
did you hear about the Packers while we're on it? Before I forget, the Packers offensive coordinator's son got murdered or something? Or he drowned in an icy river?
Yeah.
I just saw it before we got on the air.
Yep. Someone just told me about that. What you have any more on that? Or
I got the article right here. Let's see. Police confirmed Tuesday they have recovered the son of Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator Joe Philbin from an icy Wisconsin river. Michael Philbin, 21, disappeared early Sunday and was reported missing that night. His body was recovered from the Fox River by divers on Monday, but Oshkosh police Chief Scott Gruel waited a day to release the name. Let's see, Packers were in full Monday. Let's see. I'm trying to see if it says what they think the cause of death was or anything. But right now, I mean, it doesn't say. I don't know if he was ice skating and he drowned, if he was drunk. I mean, it doesn't really say. Maybe more will come out that said.
I pulled up a link right here, and it's saying that supposedly he made a non-distress phone call to a friend shortly before he was heard shouting for help as he apparently tumbled into the icy Fox River.
Wow.
They said they don't think that suspect foul play was involved, but are trying to determine whether alcohol was a factor. Yeah. Which could make sense. 21-year-old visiting friends at college.
Well, I wonder, you know, what effect that's going to have on their game plan, you know? I wonder if they'll play better, you know what I mean? It's one of those type.